While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold, pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
Football on off the ball.
I just really cared about what Ludwig said. How much thanks to Paddy McCarthy, thanks to John O'Shea, thanks to Downey, read into all the other comments.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on off the ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, it finished on our second Premier League game of the day and off the ball. Crystal Palace 0, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Not a hugely entertaining game in the second half, any, but I'm sure Spurs won't have any complaints. They had the ball in the net three times today. Correctly, two of those goals for Richarlison were ruled offside. But the fact that they took the lead before the break and then really killed the game off in the second half, I'm sure Thomas Frank will be just delighted to get those 3 points.
Yeah, it felt like, and even his sort of celebration at the end was a real sigh of relief. Obviously, the results haven't gone their way over the last number of weeks and they've been in really poor form. And for 42 and a half minutes of that first half, they were really poor. It's the poorest I've seen them in a long time, and they haven't been playing well. And today was actually was shocking at times in that first half. They lacked intensity. They lacked a little bit of bite. They were overplaying in their own half, and Palace were very, very good. And I had real fear how that game was going for Tottenham. And sometimes, you know, you little moments to go your way, and it was a small moment where Mwani wins that corner kick, and Palace, who've struggled defending set pieces, allowed Mwani again, as it turns out, at the back post, get a free header. Then Richarlison gets a free header inside the 6 yard box, and ultimately then Gray gets a header from 2 yards to put them 1-0 up. So really poor from Palace point of view, but from Tottenham Hotspur, they needed that big sigh of relief. A lot of good players in the squad. I don't buy into that sort of rhetoric that they haven't signed well. They've a lot of decent players. It's just not gone well for them all at the same time on the pitch.
How do you think they won that game? Obviously Gray's goal really good again, you know, taking advantage of Crystal Palace's very poor set piece defending, which has been highlighted this season. But overall, it did, like when we were looking at the game at the start, it did seem like neither midfield had a huge amount to be worried about from the opposition's perspective. But Adam Morton played really well in that first half, and it looked like Crystal Palace were winning the midfield battle in the first half. But you know, overall, how do you think Spurs went about winning that game today?
I think it's as much as what Palace didn't do. Palace was so good with the ball and dominated possession, but they didn't find that quality in the final third, and ultimately they left Spurs off a couple of times off the hook. Mateta has done really well for them up front, we know that, but just didn't happen for him today in terms of didn't link up the play, didn't give them enough of an attacking threat. And in the wide areas, I mean, that Klein is not the player he once was, and Mitchell was a real threat on the left hand side. But again, ultimately Palace were very, very good until they got to that 18 yard box and couldn't pick out the quality pass that they needed. And so Palace only had a couple of half chances, and ultimately then, I suppose, from a Tottenham Hotspur point of view, they would say that they defended their box quite well, and had a couple of moments on the break, particularly the last 10-15 minutes, where you felt it was more likely they were going to get that second goal, and Palace ran out of ideas and ended up with two and three men up front and were launching the ball, and ultimately then Spurs were able to deal with that, and Palace lost all the rhythm that last 20 minutes. And as I said, it should have been 2 or 3 nil in the end for Tottenham Hotspur, but there's a lot of soul searching on both teams coming into this game. And that's why them 3 points will be used for Tottenham Hotspur. They can sort of now focus on the next game and lift a little bit of pressure that you would have felt.
just to talk about Richarlison, because there has been talk in the lead up to the transfer window reopening that he's been linked back with Everton, maybe somewhere else. He's a player who will have high hopes for, you know, playing for Brazil, his national team in the summer at the World Cup. He want to have good form going into that tournament. Some people question whether Thomas Frank actually likes him as a player and that he might be willing to let him go. I think we saw there today exactly why Richarlison should be in the starting Tottenham team. He was, aside from the two goals being ruled out for offside and his contribution to the goal itself, he was really, really good today.
Yeah, he, two goals disallowed, which were marginal offsides, probably were the correct decision. He also he won the first flick on that ultimately when he wins the corner, which he score off. Odegaard hits the post and it's him bullying centre halves, and he didn't give the Crystal Palace centre halves a moment's peace. He ran at them. His work rate was phenomenal. You know, the thing about him is you either love him if you play with him and you hate him if you play against him, and he's that pebble in your shoe that doesn't go away, and he is a handful, and you can see why certain teams, he suited to certain teams, he suits them. It's all right Frank wanting to get rid of him maybe if the window opens up, but you got to have someone that can go in and do a better job than him, and I don't see anybody in that Spurs squad at the moment. Obviously Solanke's out injured, depends on him coming back, but that would be a risk if he was back in the next week or two, because you know, coming back from injury you can always pick up another one. So if I was Tottenham Hotspur, I wouldn't be letting him leave anytime soon until we found a better replacement, and whether that's somebody like, you know, who knows, they bring in and they open the checkbook, but you better get someone in the door first and foremost, because the one thing I'll say about Tottenham, I felt today, even with the win, they lacked a little bit of leadership, and he gave it to them in a different way in terms of leading the line, getting them up the pitch, winning corners, winning throw-ins, and just relieving a bit of pressure.
And just looking at their next few fixtures, kind of favourable fixtures. You know, they're away to Brentford, albeit Brentford a good home team, Tottenham a good away team. It'll be an interesting tie either way. At home to Sunderland, and then away to Bournemouth. Like, it's really important to get a good run of results there, isn't it? Would you be confident that Frank can lead them a bit higher up the table?
It's funny, like, after 42 minutes, they looked almost like a championship side. They were really poor, run of ideas, they didn't have any aggression, they went to Selhurst Park, a noisy ground, and you know, people mention that word front foot, I don't always like using it, but when you think of the energy Palace had in terms of who've played a lot of football recently and where should have been the ones that were tired going into that game, but Wharton was just dominating, using midfield, winning everything back. Tottenham didn't really try a leg, the wingers were poor on the day, and then you know, ultimately they've got the win and it gives them an opportunity now to go on a run, as you said, some favourable results and momentum, whether it's a team like Aston Villa, whether it's a team now like Tottenham Hotspur, where you can win three or four in a row can happen. I didn't see it coming for long periods, and I'm sure Thomas Frank didn't see it coming for long periods if he was being honest as well.
While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Yeah, absolutely. Be interested to see how they go in those next few games before they play Aston Villa in the Cup. Crystal Palace, meanwhile, like, you know, I spoke to you during the game about Oliver Glasner reportedly turning down a new contract offer from Palace. They're now down in ninth position in the table. They were up around the top four earlier in the season. They've got a tough home match against Fulham, then they're away to Newcastle, home to Aston Villa before they take on Macclesfield in the Cup. You would feel that it's really important for them to have a good January transfer window. You feel like he needs to get new players into that squad, better quality players, because you kind of feel it's a situation that could fall apart really quickly for Palace if Glasner is just, you know, decides not to sign a contract. It's very hard for a manager to then, you know, maintain his authority in the dressing room if players know he's gone at the end of the season. Yeah. You'd be a bit concerned for them if those things don't work out.
I think you'd be concerned for where Palace are at the moment in terms of, they've obviously had a wonderful run in terms of the Charity Shield at the start of the season, but the FA Cup last year. Europe is being okay for them. You would think they should have, you know, they should have qualified a little bit quicker and with the strength and depth they have. But I think when you look at what made them so good up until this point was Gaia centre half, Warrington in midfield, Adam Warrington and Mateta up front, that platform. But they're all off the levels at the moment, and some of that's, to be fair to them, down playing a lot of games, like huge amount of games have gone towards the sort of Sunday, Tuesday in a League Cup game, and that can be really difficult. It means the manager's not getting an opportunity on the training ground, and you could tell Glasner, like, the Leeds game is a great example of it. They just like somebody who hadn't practiced defending long throws or corners for the day or two before that, which you would have expected to face against Leeds. And then ultimately today, there'll be parts of the game we'd be pleased with, the energy levels of the first half, but it's not happening for them in the final third. And they look just short of ideas in terms of goal scoring chances, and that's the hardest part of football. So I'd be really worried for Crystal Palace over the next few weeks. You've just got to get an ugly win, a bit like what Spurs had today, and move on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Four defeats in a row now in the Premier League for Palace. They need to start getting points somehow. Just to finish, Vinny, because just a couple of weeks ago you were one of the few probably Irish men celebrating at Parkhead as Evan Ferguson scored a double for Roma. Look, you know, people who watch Off the Ball regularly know your ties with the young Irish striker. I emphasise the word young. Like, there's been so much in the media over the last number of weeks, and rightly so. He has been, you know, a talisman of sorts for Ireland in their World Cup qualification campaign until Parrish hit his straps in the last couple of matches. But, you know, there's been weird, I suppose, comments coming from his manager, Gasperini. He's questioned Ferguson's attitude, his training, off the pitch, his standards, all this kind of stuff, which I'd imagine is quite damaging for a young player to hear your manager talk about you in such terms. He then bounces back with those two goals against Roma, played well against Juventus in their last game. Like, what's going on? Would you expect Ferguson to be playing the second half of the season in Italy, or could you see him coming back to play somewhere in the UK?
I expect him to be playing in Italy. I don't think anything's going to change unless, obviously, it's Roma's decision. I think we've got to be careful. I think the Evan Ferguson situation, and maybe someone like me is part of it in terms of bigging them up a little bit, and with that comes the scrutiny. But I think we got to be careful, particularly in the Irish media, whatever other people do, is that we don't fall into that old sort of Britishness of building up these young players and looking for little pops here and there. And we live in a world of instantaneous sort of reaction, social media, and I get it, but I mean, some of the stuff around Evan is just nonsense. I mean, he's when I look at the last couple of games, I mean, against Celtic, he took the goals brilliantly. He then went on the Monday night, played a game that he won 1-0, and he was exceptional in that game. Probably his best 90 minutes, I would say, that I've seen. And then he's left out for the big game that weekend by the manager. He comes on and he creates the goal. It was a brilliant bit of play that he got the goal against Juventus. And he's left out. And the manager threw a young player under the bus at 21 years of age. And I'm not sure about that. Manager made a couple of wrong decisions as opposed to maybe what Evan has done. So, look, Gasperini has a certain way of playing, and generally his strikers are so heavily demanded, and he's looking at playing a false nine at different stages as well, which a lot of the Roma fans wouldn't be overly happy with for that point. So, I just think there's a lot of noise around Evan. I didn't understand the noise heading into the Celtic game. The director of football there has spoke with a bit of common sense in terms of they were very happy with him. They see his development. He then went and done what he done. And the director of football is saying he doesn't know where the noise is coming from. He's being linked here, there and everywhere. Not by him or his agents from what I can see. So some of it is a little bit of hot air just blown around. And I think we need to give the kid a little bit of break and just give him a chance to breathe. Not just some of the sort of noise coming from Ireland, but also his manager needs to. But remember, you've got a 21-year-old kid here, and every time you do a press conference, you don't need to throw the young lad under the bus because your team didn't perform against somebody who, you know, was left out of starting team that day and came on and made a decent impact, as I said, against Juventus. So, look, big game tomorrow night. Whether he'll start or not, I don't know, but it depends on Gasperini's mindset. As I said, he's played the false nine, which isn't a favourite tactic of the Roma fans. For Evan, we've got to remember he's 21-year-old. He's on a great trajectory in terms of his football career. I fully believe in him. And I think it's part of his learning what's going on at the moment. So let's see what happens. But I think the noise is a little bit too loud at the moment. And just say one more time, just give the kid a chance to breathe.
Well put, Vinny. Yep, the Stadio Olimpico hosts Roma against Genoa tomorrow night, and as ever, there'll be huge Serie A viewership figures for in this part of the world anyway, as we hope Evan Ferguson starts for Roma tomorrow night. Next week we will have Fulham versus Liverpool for you in the early kickoff on Off the Ball next Sunday, and then it will be Manchester City against Chelsea. Do join us for that.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
While everyone's obsessing about the Christmas season, you've got a different season on your mind. One where red noses come from shouting your support in the crisp, cold pitchside air. Where the roaring fire is in your belly, not your sitting room. And the perfect gift is an unexpected win. Don't miss a moment with a GAA season ticket. A gift for yourself or the fan in your life. Available at gaa.ie/season ticket. Are you in? The GAA, where we all belong.